Welcome back, everyone. We are Little Brown Women, and this is our podcast, Unplugged. Every fortnight, we talk candidly with our wondrous guests and with each other about a range of important and topical issues, often from the lens of identity, culture, and empowerment. Today, we are so excited to welcome Tiwa Ogunlesi onto the show. Tiwa is a self-love activist, inspirational speaker, podcaster, confidence coach, and the founder of Confident in Killing It, her brand, which was created as a response to the generational cycle of low self-esteem amongst women and girls. In today's episode, we explore Tiwa's personal self-love journey, how her career of coaching came to be, her thoughts on identity and culture, and the importance of female empowerment. So without further ado, let's get talking.
Hi, Tiwa. Thank you so much for being on our show today, being on our podcast. We find you so inspiring individually. And, you know, having you on our introduction call last week was a bit of a fangirl moment for each of us, because we really do absolutely love what you're doing, what you stand for. And you ooze confidence, Tiwa, in a very, very different way. And, you know, we all individually look up to that. But to start the conversation off, I would love to hear, and I'm sure our audience would too, your journey to becoming, you know, a self-love activist, life coach, an inspirational speaker. What inspired you to take this route?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here. So I was quite an insecure teenager growing up. I came across as confident, but my mind was quite a mess. I constantly compared myself to my siblings, to my sister especially. I was brought up in a really loving, caring family. Both my parents are quite creative. My siblings are super creative. My brother's a musician. My sister's a fashion designer. And it was kind of like, oh, so what's Tiwa good at? Oh, school, yay. And I just felt like the really boring one. And so I constantly told myself that I wasn't creative. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't skinny enough. And that was the narrative that was just playing over and over and over again in my mind. And it wasn't until I was 21 that I started my confidence and self-love journey, where my mom gave me this book, 15 Laws of Growth by John Maxwell. And that book literally changed my life, because that's where I learned that growth is intentional, and that you have to program your mind for success and invest in yourself. You know, you're not just going to wake up one day and be the woman you want to be. No, you have to work towards that person and be strategic about it. So I've always been a very organized, you know, hardworking, strategic person. So when I learned that, you know, my future was in my hands, I was like, right, let's get to work, you know, like it was something that was really exciting for me. And so fast forward a few years later, when I started working at my first job straight out of uni, I was working for an engineering company in their digital marketing department. And I really, really hated the job. I thought, oh, I'm a passionate person. I can be passionate about anything. But actually, no, passion is only reserved for the things you really care about. So I find myself at this job, and I'm just like, there has to be more to my life than this. So I decided to volunteer as a youth leader with my local church and just, you know, mentor the young people and give back in a way to just bring some fulfillment into my life. So I start mentoring them, and I ask them what's the one thing they really want to get out of in life. And they all write it down on a piece of paper, and I'm super excited to see what they've said. I get home and I open the first piece of paper, and it's like, I wish I was more confident. And my heart literally shrunk, because I was like, no, please, no, we can't be doing this. And then I opened the second piece of paper, and it was like, I wish I loved myself more. And the third piece of paper, I wish I was more confident. And the next one, and the next one, and the next one, all saying the same thing. Girls aged 15 to 17, 20 of them, all writing the same thing down on a piece of paper, that they want to love and believe in themselves more. And that was really the last straw for me, because I remember when I was 16 and I didn't love myself. And I said, here we are again, literally another generation later. And it's the same thing. Why is this like almost a rite of passage for women that we grow up not loving and believing in ourselves? And so I said, enough is enough. Like, every single woman deserves to love and believe in herself. And so I literally grabbed my phone and I recorded a video on Instagram about how important it is to believe in who you are and to love yourself. And that was really where it started. And then I just started making more videos and then doing in-person events, and then Confident and Killing It was born.
That sounds so inspiring, Tiwa. And, you know, as an individual, for you to take that stand and represent us women is, you know, it's a big burden to carry on your shoulders. And you're doing it so well in really creating confidence in those of us that don't necessarily have confidence at our doorstep, let's say. But I know that you mentioned it really did, to the early stages of your journey, it really did affect your mental health and the way you perceived yourself. What things do you practice every day to ensure that you maintain your own sense of worth and empowerment?
Yeah, so I start off with meditation. I think it's really important to be connected to your inner wisdom, because sometimes your mind and your heart want different things. In fact, a lot of the time, your mind and your heart want different things. And your mind is kind of usually driven by the ego, and whereas your heart is like your inner wisdom and your true self. So often I will meditate in the morning because I really want to be intentional about connecting to my intuition and my inner wisdom and my heart, and really understanding who am I? What is the truth about me? What do I truly love and believe in? And how can I do more of that in life? So that's like the first thing, that connection with like mind, body, soul. And then actually, when I was starting my confidence journey, the first thing I did was deep dive into my strengths, because I had no idea what I brought to the table. All I knew was my body wasn't as good as this person's body, or I wasn't creative as that person. I only knew myself in relation to other people. And so I had to start a new journey where I was knowing myself for me, like, who am I as a whole individual and not in comparison to somebody else? So understanding like, what are my strengths? What am I good at doing? What sets my heart on fire? You know, what comes natural to me? All of these things I started paying attention to. And then I was more intentional about doing those things. So one of the reasons why I'm so confident is because Confident and Killing It is literally built on the alignment between my personal strengths and my personal interests. And so therefore, every day when I wake up and I come to work and I, you know, get on and I'm coaching someone or I'm making a piece of content, I am living from a place of strength, and that gives me the encouragement and the motivation to keep going. I also love exercising, getting my blood going and my energy levels up. Back in the day, I don't do this very often, but I will still do it from time to time. When I hated my skin and my spots were just like all over the place, I would look at myself in the mirror every single day and say, Tiwa, I love you. Every single day, even when I didn't feel like it, even when I didn't think I looked pretty, I had to say that to myself every single year for a year, so I could program my mind to love me and to work for me rather than being stuck with a mind that sabotages me.
That was so beautifully put, Tiwa. I mean, you can't be the best version of yourself without working from the inside out. I mean, you know, you can paint a house blue or red or whatever it is, but if the inside structure isn't at its absolute optimum, the outside isn't going to sustain itself. And that's a great way to put it. And I'd love to just touch on also through your journey. And one thing we don't realize is how much our partners have influence on how we feel and, you know, how we turn up to the world every day. So how does your partner support you and influence you and, you know, help you take those next steps?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because you can be the most confident person, but if you put yourself in a toxic environment, your confidence can come crashing down. So confidence is a practice. It's not something you're just born with. It's something you have to do over and over and over again every single day. So I'm actually really, really lucky in by when I started going out with my partner, he actually made me feel more confident than I was, because we've been going out for 9 years. So obviously met him first year of uni. I hadn't started my self-love journey yet. And so, you know, I was so embarrassed if he ever saw me without makeup on, or, you know, I was embarrassed that his legs were skinnier than my legs. And, you know, he would always say, like, you're beautiful. Like, it was like he felt so lucky to have me. And I was just kind of like, I didn't even know what was so good about me, like why he wanted to be in the relationship, you know. So having somebody who actually just loves you for you and your personality and, you know, who you are as a person rather than what you look like was super important. So on the days where I felt really ugly or self-conscious and things like that, he would constantly remind me that that I'm a beautiful woman and that I have a beautiful heart and things like that. So that was a big game changer for me. And when I was super insecure about my body, you know, he didn't care about that at all. So that was super, super helpful. But now that I'm, you know, I'm grown and I'm more confident in myself and things like that, I think the way he supports me is by being a really good emotional support, you know, being a good listening ear, encouraging me on the days where everything just feels like way too overwhelming, you know, helping me come up with ideas and brainstorm ideas, and actually celebrating me, you know, when I get a new client, he's like, oh, who was that on the phone? He always wants to know more about what I'm doing. And when I secure a new client or something, he's always like, ah, congratulations, super excited. So knowing that I don't have a partner who's intimidated by my success or my greatness has been such a blessing to have.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, in this day and age, this doesn't just apply to the female to male perspective. It also, you know, applies the other way around as well, from men to women. Mm-hmm. And that's to the situation that you're in, or the people that you surround yourself with, is so important to your own self-growth, confidence, empowerment, because people don't realize is you can feel and you almost absorb other people's negativity, or, you know, if they have any doubts amongst you, it's definitely something that you absorb without knowing. So it's really important to have that great support system.
Tiwa, thank you so much for sharing your personal stories. I mean, so many of our listeners will definitely relate to you, including me, actually. And I guess this nicely brings us on to the next segment, right? So in this segment, I kind of wanted to focus on your journey towards self-love from your perspective. And your work today so far has demonstrated really strong elements and understanding of self-care. And what I really love about is that you verbalize the need and the requirement of self-care so well. Like, you constantly remind us that we're deserving of rest. And I guess some of us mistake it as laziness if we end up taking some time out, when really it's just the maintenance of our mind, body, and spirit. So I wanted to start off, right, with how you first understood the importance of self-care and how you made the changes in the last few years based on the lessons and the life experience that you've gained.
Self-care is so, so important. Like, I have never been one of those people who's like, oh, I feel guilty for resting. Like, no way. I am like, luxury, yes. Massage, yes. Like, facial, yes. Give me all of it. So I think it's so important as women, you know, that we don't feel guilty for resting, when rest is a right. Like, rest is an essential part of life, you know. And I always say to people, this is a really good metaphor. If I was driving from London to Manchester and I thought, oh, I don't need to stop for fuel, I'll just go straight there. It's fine. I'll push through. Like, it's like, actually, I wouldn't do that. That's like the dumbest thing you can do, because you know your car is going to break down when there's no fuel. And the cost of calling someone out to rescue you is super expensive, that it makes sense to stop, get the fuel before you go on your journey. And so that's how I see life, right? You have to refuel. You don't just eat once a week. No, most people eat 3 times a day because you know your body needs the fuel. And so same thing, like self-care is so important because your body needs that rest. And rest isn't just about sleep. There's actually like 7 different types of rest and different ways to rest as well. So it's actually understanding that the same way, if you do not put fuel in your car before a long journey, you will run out of fuel and burn out. Is the same way in life, if you do not put fuel in your mind, in your body and rest, you will burn out. And the cost of burning out is just so annoying and it's so high that it just makes sense to just take care of yourself here and now, because there is no you, there is no business without you. There is no confident and killing it if I'm not alive and well and, you know, happy to enjoy what I'm putting out there. So I prefer to give when my cup is overflowing than to give from the capacity of my cup and be running out.
I feel so empowered right now. That was incredible advice. I mean, yes, you're absolutely right. How can we keep on giving if our battery is going to run low? We can't keep serving from an empty cup. Absolutely fantastic analogies and metaphors. And I guess that's, you know, what could lead to kind of low self-empowerment energy. Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads me on to the next question in terms of, you know, what your insights are in the relationship between women and the notion of empowerment and self-love. I mean, you've mentioned in your previous calls with us that, you know, women often succumb to negative thoughts about themselves, and it's usually influenced by, you know, the society that we live in today, patriarchy and, you know, cultural norms. So we'd like to hear why you think that is.
Yeah, oh gosh, I could talk about this forever. I think capitalism really benefits and feeds off women's insecurities, because at the end of the day, their aim is to sell more and make more money, and they don't really care what they're selling. And oftentimes they need to create a need for their product. And so what they do is that they make women feel like they need certain products to feel good and to be the best version of themselves. But actually, your worth is intrinsic. You matter simply because you exist, and not because of the color of your hair or the color of your skin or what clothes you're wearing or where you are born or, you know, what kind of shampoo you use. Really and truly, you know, your confidence has to come from inside of you first before you add all these other things. Now, yes, I feel good when I put on a power suit, but it's not the power suit that gives me confidence. It's my inner confidence that gives that power suit the flair and like the confidence that I'm exuding. So I think society has created a world whereby women have been brainwashed from a very young age that they need certain materialistic things. You know, you need the makeup and you need the procedures, and they are always changing the standards. If you think about it, you know, back in the 90s, there was a, you know, supermodel kind of Baywatch look that was the in body, and anyone else who didn't have that kind of body felt like something was wrong with them. And then you move and life changes and trends change, and now we have this generation that we're in with the Kim Kardashian bodies, and you know, it's all about the small waist and the big bum and the big boobs. And it's like, if you don't have that kind of body, now when young teenage girls are paying to get surgery to look like that, and then guess what's going to happen in another 20 years? There's going to be another change. And so the standards are constantly changing, so women can never catch up. Same thing with freckles. Freckles were so out, like, and girls would hide their freckles, but now they've created freckle pens because freckles are back in fashion. And stuff like that really annoys me, especially when, if women don't realize that, you know, they don't have to live up to those standards and they can create their own rules for themselves, they will fall victim to all of these forever changing trends and realize they can never catch up. And if you base your worth on what society says is cool, you will never feel good enough because the standard is always, always changing. So I think the media plays a big part in this, in the way women are represented in the films that we watch, in the conversations that we have, in the books that we read. We need a more honest and authentic representation of women. And that's why diversity is super, super important. And so we have a responsibility to make sure that we are putting out the content and the messages that actually make women love themselves and believe in themselves rather than making them feel insecure.
I completely agree with you with the influence of media. I think we need to broadcast that message to everyone that it is okay to be different. It is okay to challenge people's opinions. It's okay to just be yourself, you know? And I think we need to start by obviously trying the best of our ability to try and share these thoughts and feelings with the younger and older generations. And you've done incredible work in that arena. You've been building so many mentoring sessions, workshops, and your wonderful podcast and Confident and Killing It. And, you know, there's this line I remember you said that being free gives you the permission for those around you to be free. And again, that's all coming from you, Tiwa. And so I wanted to discuss your passion on the work that you've been doing so far. Mm-hmm. And basically, how did you find the experience of doing all of this and showcasing this knowledge to the women of today?
Oh gosh, it's been such a roller coaster of a journey. You know, I quit my full-time job last year in December, and I was like, 2020 is going to be my year. It's going to be amazing. Had such high expectations for 2020. And then of course, 2020 had different plans. So, you know, January was good. February was good. March was kicking off, and then lockdown happened, and I literally lost all my business. And I had been living off my savings for the past 3 months, and so I was finally going to be getting some money in April, May, and June, and everything got cancelled. And so I really, really did hit rock bottom. And you know, when I did hit rock bottom, I shared that with my community, and that is what I'm talking about being super authentic. I never want anyone to come onto my page and go, "Oh, Tiwa's so confident. Her life is so perfect." Absolutely not. You know, confidence isn't a lack of insecurity or a lack of fear. It's like an in-depth belief in yourself and what you have to offer and what you have to bring to the world. I still get negative thoughts. Every single human being will still get negative thoughts. Just because you're confident, that doesn't mean you can't have negative thoughts. So I think something that's been really important for me as I'm sharing my journey with women is not to come across as this superwoman who has it all and does it all. When I'm burnt out, I share that I'm burnt out. You know, when I'm feeling insecure, I have my struggles. I share that as well. And that has really freed me from, you know, handcuffing myself to society's expectations of what a confidence coach should look like. Like, I set my own standards and I live by my own rules. And really, I have learned to define success on my own terms. And so by doing that, I think I've been able to set a really good example so that women know that they can also define success on their own terms, and they can also set the standards that they want in their lives as well. So this things have picked back up, which is amazing. Like, this is the most growth that I've ever experienced. Like, you know, I've spoken at Google, Facebook, TikTok, like YouTube, like Deloitte, all of these incredible companies that I never saw myself speaking at in my first year of being an entrepreneur. Like, if you had told me in March, this is where I would be by November, I would, like, part of me had big dreams, but then part of me just did not see a way through. And so I think being able to be brave enough to be vulnerable with people and share that is why I think people really resonate with my message, and why I also have been able to build such an incredible brand that people love and listen to, because I have been 100% authentic the whole way.
First of all, Tiwa, I just wanted to say congratulations on being brave and being authentic, because you've been able to step out of the comfort zone and you've allowed yourself to be vulnerable, and that makes us feel like we can relate to you, you know. Encouraging women, and it is all about team effort, and once you share each other's experiences, it becomes less daunting, and it's a kind of, actually, if Tiwa can do it, then I think I can do it too, you
Absolutely.
Know. And it's not a lonely journey, and you know, once you're passionate about your dreams and your purpose, everyone will support and believe you. I mean, if you don't believe in yourself, then who will, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Tiwa.
Tiwa, you have given us such an honest insight into how your mind works, what you do to sustain yourself, the purpose of what you do. And it's just been really inspiring. And, you know, our episode with you is part of our identity series. And we were so happy when you kind of said that you would be, you know, gracious enough to do this episode with us, because we look at you as not just a confidence coach who is extremely empowering, extremely intelligent, extremely beautiful, but as a person of such varied cultural heritage, we know that that plays a part in who you are and sort of who you bring to the table, mm-hmm. whatever you're doing. And, you know, I would love to touch on how your identity and your culture has played a part in your journey to mm-hmm. self-empowerment and just love of self. So, you know, we know that you have a rich cultural heritage, being both mm-hmm. Nigerian and Scottish. And, you know, you were surrounded by really strong female role models growing up, which in turn gave you a very empowered foundation as a young mm-hmm. girl and a young female adult. So, you know, I guess we just wanted to ask you, how has this influenced your understanding of the concept of identity and then your own identity as well?
Yeah, I come from a family of very, very strong women who have always kind of lived life on their own terms. So my grandma was a white Scottish woman. She met my grandpa in Oxford back in like the 1960s. And, you know, they kind of fell in love, and he asked her to move to Nigeria with him because he was only in Oxford studying. He didn't actually live there. And my grandma, being the adventurous woman that she was, she said yes, and she moved to Nigeria by boat. It took her 2 weeks to get there, and left everything she knew behind in the UK, left her family. They kind of disowned her anyways for marrying a black man. And yeah, she decided to start a new life in Nigeria. And just that sense of adventure and that spirit of, like, you know, wanting more for your life and going after it really, really does run in my blood. And when my grandma got to Nigeria, you know, she didn't just stay indoors and be a housewife, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it could have been easy. You know, it's a culture you don't know, it's a country you don't know. She built her own business from scratch, and she became a household name, household fashion designer in Lagos at the time. And so my mom grew up knowing this story and seeing her mother be such a pioneer. And so naturally my mom followed in those footsteps. And so the same thing with me, I've always been raised to know that I can do anything that I put my mind to. My parents have never, ever, ever doubted me. You know, and I just remember this one time I had a swimming competition, and the school I was up against were this really, you know, fancy competitive school. They had like the biggest swimming pool, da da da. And I think I was like, I must have been maybe about 7 or 8 at the time. And, you know, my mom just said to me, she was like, Tiwa, you can do anything you put your mind to. Get into that water and give it your best. And I literally won that competition. Like, I swam and I was out before like half of the kids in the pool. And that memory, that memory with my mom is something that I have held close to me my whole entire life, because that is so true. You can do anything you put your mind to, and when you really believe in yourself. So I think my cultural heritage has played an incredible part in me being the woman I am today, because I've grown up seeing incredible women, knowing that I can have that too if I wanted. And so I've never disqualified myself for being a woman, or even being a black woman, you know. And I think that's a luxury that I've really had, and I don't take it for granted, because before I'm a woman, before I'm a black woman, I am Tiwa and I am powerful. And so when I show up to places, I don't show up as, oh my gosh, I'm the only black woman in this room, maybe I'm not meant to be here. No. I'm showing up as Tiwa, who is confident, who believes in herself, who is powerful, who is skilled, who has great communication skills. Like, I know all my strengths. And so I show up with the energy of my grandmother and my mother and the energy of myself, and not disqualify myself because society wants to try and put me in a box. That can't even happen.
Wow. I can't even. You know what? All of those anecdotes from your past, they're nothing short of inspirational. And, you know, I can just tell that you are living in the spirit of your grandmother and your mother.
You
do what makes you happy and you're true to your authentic self, and you do it very unapologetically, you know, regardless of whatever is happening around you or, mm-hmm. you know, who your company is. And I mean, that in itself, you are an embodiment of empowerment, because like you just said, you are powerful. And before being a woman, before being a Black woman, you are Tiwa. And that is the essence of life, right? It's being true to yourself and who you are. And I mean, I know that you often say in your interviews and your talks that, you know, we are not our thoughts. And when you say that, you say in the context of when we think about ourselves negatively. And I think, you know, as you've just said, it links so heavily with identity. And as you've just told us, everything you say to yourself, it is so specific, and you choose specific language, which can only empower you. Because, you know, I think it's a real trend, especially in women, when we talk about ourselves and the way we perceive ourselves can often be quite disempowering. And so there might be other disempowering factors around us, but if we're also sort of playing into that, it just doesn't help. And we almost dig ourselves a hole. And I think, you know, we as humans, we often conflate our feelings with what we believe ourselves to be. And big our emotions as well. Yeah. And it can be really detrimental. And so just hearing how you overcome that is really strong. And it definitely shows that that's how you've steered yourself to having a very strong sense of identity, you know, incorporating how you've grown up, the what your role models have taught you, but also making sure that there's a bit of your own kind of authenticity in that as well. I'm taken back, you know. I'm so in awe of you, and I think it's so lovely. And I like the fact that you mentioned sort of being a Black female, because that is definitely something that we wanted to speak about. You know, female identity is so important, and it is a massive part of what you do as well. And you spoke about sort of with Dami, you know, around the society's ever-changing standards on what a woman should be. And it sometimes undermines our lived experiences if we fall into that trap of trying to become an external ideal of what we should be, rather than just being who we are and loving the person we are. And it's incredible to see a woman of color such as yourself being successful and joyful. But I think you'd agree that it's usually because it's a phenomenon, right? It's sad that it's incredible. And that's because there still aren't enough women of color in positions of power.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are specific challenges that face people of color. And we are very much in awe of how you don't let that heavy and shared experience disempower your potential. So I guess our final question to you is, how has being a woman of color in 2020 affected the perception you have of yourself and your ability to self-empower?
It's
a heavy question.
The thing about me is I always look for, so there's this thing in psychology called confirmation bias, which is when we have an idea about something, our mind begins to look for evidence to prove to us that it's true. So, you know, maybe if you tell yourself you're bad at communication, you will begin to look for evidence that you are bad to confirm that thought. If you tell yourself that you are creative and artistic, you will begin to see the evidence that you are creative and artistic. So for me, I love celebrating women and I love seeing women winning. So I'm always drawn and attracted to women winning. So when I think of, you know, 2020 has been a very weird year where we've seen incredible wins for women of color, and we've seen tragedies, for example, with Breonna Taylor and, you know, everything that went on in America. And it's so easy if you place your identity in, again, in what society says, you literally feel like the wind can blow you left and right and you don't feel like you have any solid ground. Because I know there were probably a lot of Black women who saw themselves in Breonna Taylor and the way she was, you know, unjustly murdered. It does affect your sense of self, but you've got to understand that your feelings and your identity are not the same thing, you know? So just because you have a feeling that society does not respect Black women, or society does not, you know, value Black women's lives, does not mean that your life is not valuable. It doesn't mean that you are not worthy, right? Feelings and your identity are different. So this year, I have really, really learned to separate my identity from how I feel. You know, when I hit rock bottom, I felt like a failure, but that does not mean I am a failure. Failure has a start and an end date. It's an event. It's not who you are. And so learning to separate the things that happen to me or the things that happen to other women in the world and who I am has been really, really powerful. And then when you see, you know, Kamala Harris being elected as the vice president, that's a big win for women of color all over the world. You know, that makes us happy and celebrates. That makes me realize, like, wow, there are no glass ceilings. You know, the sky is the limit. So it's been a weird juxtaposition of, you know, celebrating the ultimate wins and then also like very big losses as well. But I think the thing that has kept me pushing through it is, you know, celebrate where I can, have empathy when there's been a tragedy, but not internalize that those tragedies are something being wrong with me.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tiwa. And I think that's, it's so insightful what you said, because I know that touches on sort of your experience and how you live, but, you know, you're so good at understanding that your experiences are relatable to other people. And, you know, I love when you sort of spoke about in depth separating identity from how you feel. And that's a really conscious thing to say, because I mean, I know that I've done it and I've probably been doing it a lot this year, where you start to believe that you are what you feel, when in fact a feeling is temporary and your identity has a longevity to it. And when you conflate both of them, you're sort of, you're associating a meaning to your identity, which is not true at all, but you're almost making yourself believe it is. So I just, yeah, that is really, I'm almost starstruck. It's really powerful what you've said on that. This conversation has just, it's been so inspiring. It's so insightful and it's just been so honest. You know, what you've said, the majority of it has been so relatable, not only to us, but I can imagine so many of our audience will be able to relate to different parts of your journey and your mindset. And it's so refreshing to hear how you rose out of insecurity, you know, lack of self-confidence, to actually accepting growth and living by this great mantra, which is essentially loving and believing in yourself and knowing that you are the master of your own life. Mm-hmm, but also it's just great. It's great to hear that you, as a confidence coach, you know, you admit that having up and down days is just a part of the human experience.
Yeah, but, of course.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be a dominant part of it, right?
Exactly, exactly. You know, positive and negative emotions are essential. There's no way you can go through life just only having positive emotions. You need the negativity and, you know, the pain and the slowness to feel and reconnect and to, you know, to reach like a happy medium again. The key is to just not get stuck in it. So if anyone is telling you that you're meant to be happy and clappy all the time, that's a lie. Run away from them. You're not meant to be happy and clappy all the time. Energy is just like, your emotions are just energy in motion. And they come in, they come out, they go up, they go down. And that is where the richness of life really lies. The richness of life in life does not lie in, you know, everything going according to plan every time you want it. That's very boring, actually. The richness in life comes from the ups and the downs, and sometimes it's a roller coaster and you're hanging upside down, but the key is you just have to keep moving forward.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tiwa. I really, really couldn't. And you know, that's been my year this year, and I'm slowly learning to accept that, and all of a sudden it's becoming a bit more easier because you're going with the flow rather than against it. Tiwa, undoubtedly, you and your brand, Confident and Killing It, stand for empowerment and for women. And that is the reason we were so drawn to you in the first place. And given that empowerment is a driving force of Little Brown Women, it's just ironic, you know, it's a perfect match. So on that note, we ask all of our guests this question to end each one of our episodes, and we can't wait to hear your answer. What does empowerment mean to you?
What does empowerment mean to me? Empowerment to me means it's an internal job. It's where your mind, body, and soul are working together to move you forward and help you unlock your purpose. Empowerment is for me when your mind is encouraging you and taking you closer to your goal, where your heart and your intuition are leading you and helping you unlock your purpose so you can live life to the fullest. That is what empowerment means to me, where your mind, body, and soul are all working together in harmony to help you unlock your full potential.
Nothing short of empowering. And you know what? I think we're all going to take that away. And I have no doubt that our audience is going to take that away whenever they listen to this episode, and it's just going to set them up. I mean, wow. Tiwa,
I don't even know where that answer came from. It
comes from the heart, doesn't it?
Yeah. It was very Oprah-esque of me, I must say.
Oh, very much.
We absolutely love it. It was so,
you're so in tune. So in tune. I love it. Oh, Tiwa, thank you so much. That's it for today, guys. We'll be welcoming more great guests over the next few months, so stay tuned in. We really appreciate your support, so please don't forget to follow us on Spotify and leave a rating and comment on iTunes if you love our content. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter to keep up with all things LBW. And don't forget to like, follow, and leave a comment on our posts. Remember to also sign up to our mailing list to receive our monthly newsletter via our Instagram page. This month's newsletter is coming out on the 30th, so make sure you don't miss out. Until next time, take care, live big, and be kind to yourself.